The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. The news regarding Kroger, an Isle of Man company looking for oil and gas in Manx territorial waters. Kroger has been granted permission to continue its search beyond a four-month license extension, which was granted in December of last year. Such licenses are divided into three exploration phases. The DOI originally issued Kroger with a seaward production innovative license in 2018. So three exploration phases. Phase A is geotechnical studies and geophysical reprocessing. Phase B, seismic survey and acquiring geophysical data. Phase C is exploratory drilling. Now, the license term commenced 1st of January 2019 at Phase B and allowed Kroger 3 years to complete relevant work. The conditions of the license require satisfactory completion of Phase B before moving to Phase C, exploratory drilling. Now, with a license due to expire on the 31st of December last year, Kroger got a four-month extension, during which time they talked to the government over matters relating to climate change and the company's ability to fulfill outstanding requirements relating to the satisfactory completion of Phase B. Kroger recently amended its initial request for an extension to Phase B, and productive discussions resulted in the company being granted a 27-month extension to satisfy the necessary conditions. A period of 3 years has also been retained to complete Phase C as part of the agreement. Phase C is the drilling. Tim Crookall, the infrastructure minister, says extensive discussions have taken place between Kroger and the government since the turn of the year prior to the granting of this latest license extension. We'll continue to engage with the company and monitor progress in the coming months as it works towards fulfilling the conditions of the license. Kroger has been granted an extension to continue the search for oil and gas. Text 166177, email studio at maxradio.com, call 66 1368. Lots happening today, lots to get into, and whatever's on your mind, whatever's bubbled up over the weekend, over the bank holiday, by all means get in touch. You may have heard in the news this story about payments at the airport. It's a long way from drilling for gas to payments at the airport, but Tim Crookall's responsible for both. In the next few weeks, a new system for parking payments at the Isle of Man Airport will be up and running. You won't be able to use cash, though. You'll have to pay through an app. The Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, was quizzed on the new system by the Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, in Keys.
Reference has been made in another answer to technical advance systems being introduced. Has the procurement process been completed, and how much will the spend be on the proposed state-of-the-art solution, which was also mentioned in the previous answer? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have those figures with me, but I'll happily circulate them rather than giving out a guesstimate at the moment, but I'm happy to circulate those.
Final supplement to Mr. Morehouse.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could he confirm this in hundreds of thousands of pounds rather than a relatively modest sum of less than £50,000, just in terms of an overview? And in terms of the advanced solutions, including an app, has any, and the new barriers and cost installations, has anything been looked at in terms of the very basic pay and display unit using a card reader? There's been a lot of concern in the wider community about accessing these apps and similar things. Has any research been done with the existing use of the car park in terms of their technical abilities and whether they can actually make use of such a shift in technology? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, such reply.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The honourable member's referred to the app system that we have come down on the side of, and we think it's a good system that will work, and it will actually give us a contract period to look at and see how well it works. And if we needed to change it again in 12 or 24 months' time, we possibly could do at very little cost. Mr. Speaker, I would be more than happy again to hold out an offer to the honourable member to come and talk to the department if he's got issues that he's got from constituents, but we believe we've got most of them covered. I know there's an issue concerning being able to pay with cash. Cash is disappearing from paying at cash points and ticket machines and things like that. Trying to get hold of a cash machine that accepts Manx coins and not the UK coins is impossible now, because obviously the machines are made across and they don't accept the Manx coins over there. So there is a difficulty with that. So we are getting away from paying with cash.
Message in. This is from Peter, just said, Andy, there was nothing wrong with the parking cash machine at the airport. It was only the barrier that was broken. The machine inside the airport worked absolutely fine. So where is the issue? They never mentioned whether the actual cash machine was broken. It was just the barriers, wasn't it? And those barriers were actually meant for internal use. But that's another thing. Thank you, Pete, for that. And how are those without an app supposed to pay for parking? A note in from Fram. This is Henry, dropped a note in from 505. A video is doing the rounds at the moment, pointing out the government misgivings on the state of the Isle of Man. Why couldn't we plant some rhododendrons on the grass banks on the promenade until we fit the new tracks? Afterwards, we could replant them in the parks. Nobody seems to care at the moment. And after all the money that's being spent, I find it disgusting, says Henry. Also, why couldn't people using the barriers ask for English pound coins? While Manx coins argument is a red herring, says Henry. I don't know whether you've seen this. In fact, if you want to see it, go to Manx Radio's Facebook page. And it is a video by Charles Gard. And Charles Gard, you've probably seen one of Charles Gard's videos over the past 20, 25 years and more. Charles Gard made many, many videos, produced, directed many videos, extolling the virtues of the Isle of Man. All those Happy Holiday videos, which featured Terry Kringle, directed by Charles Gard. The History of Manx Mining and Minerals, fascinating study. He also did the Curiosities series of videos. Very talented director and producer of videos, and he presented lots of them as well. Charles Gard spent 25 years making videos extolling the virtues of the Isle of Man, and then over the weekend, Charles Gard decided...
So, the poor state of some parts of the island has been raised by an MHK.
...decided to produce a video called Welcome to the Isle of Man, talking about what's gone wrong.
And sad as it is, I have to agree there are some problems. As the summer is in prospect and hundreds of coach parties and dozens of cruise ships are due, what sort of an impression is our island going to make on them? I'll let you judge. Let's just have a look at the Marine Drive, such a popular place for walkers and cyclists, and it's in a dreadful state. When I filmed along here 15 years ago, barriers were already in place where part of the road was unstable. Go there today, and the barriers are still there, but, oh, completely wrecked. No one has even bothered to tidy them up. This is supposed to be a public amenity. Just before you get to the magnificent Gothic-style toll gate, more barriers that have been there just as long. It seems that if there's a problem on the island, bring the barriers out and just leave them.
That's Charles Gard. And if you want to spot the video, and again, Charles Gard is actually going to be on Man in Line a week on Thursday to talk about this particular video. So we'll let everything percolate through, let you take a look at the video. Charles Gard made the video with some trepidation, I know. It shows the Isle of Man in a less than flattering light, something Charles Gard has never, ever, ever done. He's always tried to portray the Isle of Man as a beautiful, wonderful place. But Charles Gard says, since the MHK, Daphne Kane, that is, remarked on the poor state of parts of the Isle of Man, he thought he would highlight some of the issues and hope the powers that be could just take a look at it. It's called Welcome to the Isle of Man. Probably tongue-in-cheek, but you can see it by going to Manx Radio's Facebook page. I think you've seen it, haven't you, Howard?
I have. It was sent to me this morning from the UK, from a family member in the UK. And obviously, it's out there, and I've seen it myself, and it shows the island as it is, the truth. There's nothing set up about it. There's nothing fancy. It is as you would find it when you walk about. And Charles Gard has been doing this sort of thing, as you say, for many, many years, and knows the island like the back of his hand. It's sad that it's come to this, but as you mentioned, it's on Facebook, on Manx Radio, but a lot of people, myself included, are not on Facebook. But you can get it, Welcome to the Isle of Man by Charles Gard on YouTube. That's on the ordinary internet. I appreciate the Manx Radio putting it out, and I was going to ring up actually until I just heard it. Let's hope some of the politicians can take their rose-coloured glasses off and have a look at it and see where we go from there, because I'm 78 and I've never seen the Isle of Man looking as tatty and as sad in all my life.
Two of the things that Charles mentions in the video, something we've talked about on Man in Line many times over the past years, the groins on Douglas Beach and the disintegrating fencing on the promenade as well, that 1998 Jubilee fencing, the plastic stuff with the stuff that's rusting inside, and nothing seems to get done.
No, because the politicians, they ride from Timbal back to their house. They don't walk about. They don't see anything. This is why we haven't got the horse tram running, because the politicians are wearing the blinkers, and they're going around now, they don't see anything. They're so wrapped up in themselves that they can't see what is happening to the Isle of Man, and the Isle of Man is what employs them. And if they neglected a job in the private enterprise, in the private industry, as they're neglecting their job now, they would be sacked. It can be done. They were so disgusted with the way things are working, they actually brought something in so they get rid of the chief minister. That should have been extended to all members of Timbal, where the public can vote them out again. And that may make them stand up and be counted, not sit there and collect 60 grand a year for doing nothing. They're not doing nothing, they're destroying the place. The harsh words, but it's the truth.
Okay, all right. All right, we appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
I appreciate it. 19 minutes past 12. Geoffrey's with us now. Hi, Geoffrey.
Hi, Andy. Coming on about the Kroger, it was good news to hear what you said earlier on the top end of the programme there. I'm a geophysicist. I've worked in the oil and gas industry. I'm a Manx boy, born and bred. Went across. This is good news. Phase B is what we need. The data that existed for the Kroger was more than 40 years old. The technology's moved on since then, and you really need to get that Phase B seismic survey, 3D, finished, allowed to finish, and then the data interpreted with a well location chosen to allow you to go into Phase C. Phase C will actually confirm whether or not Kroger is a viable proposition or not. It's not costing the Manx people any money. It's private investment.
Okay, and I think what the layperson can't quite connect the dots, Geoffrey, is where are Kroger going to get the money from? Because this is costing tens of millions, presumably.
Well, I understand that some of it's come from investments, from private investment capital through contacts in the oil industry. I think I know a little bit more about it. But when you say tens of millions, you're quite right. A seismic survey will probably cost a few million pounds. It won't be a big survey because it's not a big area. But the thing is, Andy, and I'll tell you this, and for the people out there listening, the worst thing could happen is that the survey, when it gets done, when it gets started, at least, it'll get attacked, it'll get invaded, it'll get interfered with by, unfortunately, some of the Greens who will probably come out there on boats and make a bloody nuisance of themselves. Excuse my French, but that's what will happen. That should not be allowed to happen. It's essential that the survey is completed, the results are collected, the data is processed, interpreted, and then a well location chosen. And that's what's got to happen. Otherwise, the Isle of Man will be wondering whether we've lost a vital, important raw commodity there. I mean, we've still got Paul Rose, 31 years. He can probably bring on Kroger within, say, 5 years or so, if it's allowed to happen. And I hope it does happen.
How long do you think, how much gas is there?
I don't know.
How long would it last?
Well, that's, if we don't know, that's the whole point. The survey, the data, the survey has got, need a new data, new technology. 40 years old, the data is. It's got to get, we have to have new data to be able to process the data. First of all, acquire it, process it, and then interpret it in order to generate a model of the reservoir. That's what will be the first thing that the geophysics will allow them to do with some sophisticated technology. I won't go into the details, but anybody out there in the field will know what I'm talking about when I say AVO. It allowed it to get a guesstimate, better than a guesstimate, and inspire some good figures on what the gas prospect is likely to be. The size, they can get an idea, but the essential proof of the pudding will be in drilling that well. The well is the expensive part. That will be the private pudding. Once they've got that well in and they've got the results from that, then they will know whether or not it's going to be a duster, in other words, just producing a little bit of oil, a little bit of gas and water, mostly water, or it's going to be a big prospect. I can't give you figures, Andy. I'd be outside of my brief, but it should be allowed to happen. That's my point. It should be allowed. The government has given Phase B, the seismic survey, permission to go ahead, get on and do it.
Okay. Do you think the government has got, and you mentioned there will be some opposition from the sustainable, the Greens,
yes,
and what have
yes,
you. They
yes.
will, and then again, that's their opinion. They're perfectly allowed to have that opinion. But do you yes. think the politicians would be able to, if this all goes ahead and if it proves, and let's just say with a fair wind, there's lots there and it will make lots of money for lots of people, including the Manx taxpayer and Treasury, do you think the government and the politicians would have the backbone to go ahead with it?
I rather hope that they will, because the prospect is at the moment you're going to be buying gas. We don't know which way it's going to go, but the gas prices are only going one way. They're going north, expensive. What's the alternative? Wind power? Renewables? Maybe. But if you're going to have wind farms everywhere, who wants that? You've talked about geothermal. Well, I came on the program last week about geothermal. That's a very expensive and a very risky business, geothermal. And otherwise, wave energy. Listen, the government of the day has got to, 5 years they're going to be in for, and this little bit less than 5 years, that should allow them to see this survey acquired, processed, and a well location chosen, and a bit more insight as to how big the reservoir is, or not. Then if it's no good, walk away from it. And at the end of the day, private investments, it's not going to cost the Isle of Man government any money. Private investment will be made. And to be honest with you, tongue in cheek, at a well, a gas well, that's no longer not possible, that could be used as a possible source of geothermal energy. The most expensive part of drilling holes in the ground, is drilling. And by having a well already drilled in Kroger, that could be looked at as a possibility. In the Netherlands, just before I finish, in the Netherlands, their government insists, any failed wells should be looked at as a source for geothermal energy.
Okay.
That's my take, Andy. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Geoffrey. Thanks for calling today. This is the news that Kroger can continue the search for oil and gas under just off the coast of Mackold. It has been approved today. And that's the message that's come out. The Isle of Man company looking for gas and oil in Manx territorial waters has been granted permission to continue its search beyond a 4-month license extension that was granted in December of last year. MHK should be ashamed of themselves regarding the Charles Gard video. It just shows the truth. Mandy said, Andy, Charles is every spot on with everything he says and shows. Sadly, this is the case. This is the video put together by Charles Gard, hitherto nothing but an evangelist for the Isle of Man, has always told the truth and the beauty and the wonder of the Isle of Man. Those Isle of Man from the air videos, the whole thing, he's been doing it for 25 years. He's put out a video about the other side of the Isle of Man and things that look absolutely ghastly on the Isle of Man at the moment. Bonzo now on Manx Radio. Hi, Bonzo.
Ah, hello, Andy. Yes, yes. What surprising news that Kroger have somehow been awarded 27 months to do as they please. Not unexpected from me and others, given various moves that Kroger has made and given those who have been lobbying hard on their behalf. No, I'm afraid it's just more snake oil that's being sold, and there are a variety of reasons why it shouldn't go ahead. But one thing, of course, strikes me very quickly about it is that, of course, the Minister for Infrastructure, Tim Crookall, was available in the Keys. He could have announced it in the Keys, but no, he chose not to announce it in the Keys first. Oh, no, it's been snuck out.
I mean, you didn't expect anything else from Kroger, did you? Kroger's a private company. It has shareholders. It's aiming to make commercial gain. They would lobby. I mean, that's their job, isn't it? You didn't expect them not to. You didn't expect them to fold up their tent and go away.
Well, of course there will be some lobbying, and there will be some use of the dark arts, shall we say, like the overestimates and huge ideas of how much were going to be there that were circulated by people like Trevor Cowen and such at meetings. I mean, they're quite absurd.
I mean, bothers you, Bonzo, is it the fact that they may spend all their money and find nothing, or they may spend all their money and find gas? What is your problem with this?
First of all, it encourages development in completely the wrong direction. Secondly, it's advocating development on the speculation that there is somehow this vast amount of resource that is there, and that has previously been shown not to be the case, but also that the fact that we somehow, as the Isle of Man government, will get 50% of lots and lots of money out of this, which is just nonsense. I mean, even the basic things such as petroleum revenue tax, which is the tax that is charged when something comes out of the ground before it goes off. That's controlled not by us, but by the UK as part of FERSA. And at the moment, it's practically zero anyway, because the UK government have placed it at such a low level in order to try and encourage the development of small wells and wells that are, and continued development of wells that are drying up.
Right.
So I think this idea that there is this wonderful golden age which is just going to happen is nonsense. There's also the point of the seismic surveys and the activity of how compatible that is with the fact that we are supposed to be a UNESCO biosphere, which we're all very good at trumpeting.
Well, Kroger, I think, have mentioned in the past this is compatible with the biosphere.
Maybe in their opinion.
Oh, I see. So we need to ask the people responsible. That's UNESCO, isn't it?
Well, yes.
So UNESCO need to make a ruling on whether or not this would contradict it.
Well, quite via DEFA, and also with reference to the Climate Change Transformation Board.
Okay, so you think this is bad news, Bonzo, though?
Well, I think it's bad news in that, well, so long as it doesn't cost us any money, which it won't at this at this stage. But the thing is that it encourages business as usual. We need some gas, let's get some more gas. Let's not actually address the problem that we have now and address that with renewables.
Oh, I see. So this is attacking the symptoms, not the cause.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, we appreciate your point. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
29 minutes to one. For every suggestion about how to solve the Isle of Man's energy needs, there always seems to be an opposite view. Have you heard this? It can't or it shouldn't be done. Last week, you remember we heard the proponents of geothermal extraction, Fred Gray and Graham Fox-Hume. were talking about geothermal possibilities on the Isle of Man and the fact that granite may be our saviour, only for their views to be, you know, shouted down, naysayed, if you like, by fellow geologists. Nonetheless, we do seem to be in an almost unique position regarding energy resources, a potential gas field just offshore, and of course, lots of wind. So how are other islands in the British Isles managing theirs? Now, a scheme in the Orkney Islands off the northern coast of Scotland is well underway. So could the Isle of Man do the same as Orkney? Now, Manx Radio's Man in Line producer Barry Redfern spoke to Neil Kermode. Neil Kermode is the Managing Director of European Marine Energy Centre in the Auckland Islands, who it seems have a distinct advantage.
Yeah, they've got advantages and disadvantages, to tell you the truth. Some of the advantages are that there's a common view of the edge of the community, and so if you're trying to do something that will affect and benefit everybody, it's easier to get people together to decide what you want to do. They're in areas where the wind blows across the sea, and that tends to be faster than if it's blown across land, so there's often better wind speeds on islands. And the other thing that we're working on particularly is that the islands are often in tides, and strong tides on occasions, and so that fast movement of water around headlands or through channels can be tapped, and we now know ways of getting energy out of that as well.
So do you think the Isle of Man could do the same, or are there big differences between Orkney and the Isle of Man?
I think the Isle of Man can certainly do a lot. It can't do exactly the same thing because you're not as far north as we are. We're up at 59 degrees north and it's blooming windy a lot of the time. And of course the population on the Isle of Man is so much higher, so your energy demand is greater. But there is a significant amount that you can do in the form of solar, wind in some locations, and there are spaces where you could get tidal energy in as well. And so I think I don't think anybody's in a position where they can't do anything, but different islands can do different things. And it's about playing to your strengths. So we've got wind turbines, tidal turbines, and some wave machines going in at the moment, which all effectively generate electricity. Now, the question then is, what do you do with that electricity? Do you take it away as electricity or use it locally, which we do, but we're also connected to the national grid, so we can export that electricity from Orkney to mainland Scotland, but there's a limit on how much we can get away in the cables. So we've been looking at other things, which is about taking electricity and using it to split water through the process of electrolysis and splitting it into hydrogen and oxygen. And that hydrogen is then usable as a fuel in a number of different ways. And we're experimenting with that by using it in some transport, we're trying to use it in some shipping. We are using hydrogen from the same process in some aircraft. And we're using it at the airport for combined heat and power. So we're trying a number of different ways to use hydrogen in the economy in place of fossil fuels.
That's Orkney. That's what Orkney, wind turbines, tidal turbines, wave machines, splitting water into oxygen and hydrogen. Obviously a much smaller population, a lot more breeze blows, but Orkney, it seems, are well ahead. Do you think we on the Isle of Man are being a bit, you know, slow in making our minds up and just getting on with something as to what we have in the middle of the Isle of Man? Is Pullrose Power Station, two jet engines, whirring away and providing most of our electricity. Is it time for the politicians to move on, do you think, and make sure that we actually make it? We have 42 million quid in a pot to make sure that we move forward sustainably. Is now the time?
You can now fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week. And London Heathrow up to 7 times a week, with 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me, I want to take you there, precious moments of this journey, to where homeward bound again.
Book today at loganair.co.uk.
Again?
Oh, that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy to get a greenhouse paint from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snowborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing, you're smashing.
We all have a Ginger Hall memory. Whether it's watching the TT on Dad's knee, or singing Happy Birthday in the garden, or watching Grandad do the robot at your cousin's wedding. Have your event at the Ginge. We're an approved partner of Conister Bank and finance options are available, including a 3-month payment holiday up front. With great food and drink in a spectacular setting, you won't be disappointed. Make a Ginger Hall memory. Visit the Ginger Hall events on Facebook. Rates and repayment terms subject to terms and conditions.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Join us for the May Caroline North Live from the Ross Revenge this weekend. We got some great prizes to give away in the shape of money to spend in the Caroline web shop, and we're sponsored all weekend by Miles Steering Box. Join us this weekend from the Ross Revenge with Caroline North and Manx Radio.
All memories. Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And it's 23 minutes before one. Thank you, Ron, for your note in 796. Pick up the phone, Ron. You have a chat if you don't like other people talking. It's as simple as that. Anybody notice zero wind over the last few days? If we fix global weather, maybe there will be some more of these no-wind days, says Desmond. Yes, well, I think it was Graham or Fred last week said 1 in 4 days wind works. 1 in just every 4 days. Did you note in the UN, being a UN biosphere doesn't help us with the cost of living or gas. Jersey get their electricity from nuclear plants in France. The Isle of Man should put another connector to the UK, not look at small Hebridean schemes, says G. Why? Why shouldn't we look at what happens in the Hebrides? If they can use wind power and wave power, and if they can split water with their surplus power, why shouldn't we look at it, G? The whole point of being our own island, surely, is to have security and independence. And if we rely on other people, as we do periodically for the UK for electricity, doesn't that cut across being independent? I'm not saying Charles Gard's all wrong, says Liz. But the government never seems to put much money into maintenance these days. But I am talking to the coach visitors daily, and they love the Isle of Man. They're very complimentary. I hope they're surveying them as they leave. The disappointment looking at the tram lines from their hotels as well, with no horse trams running, says Liz. That's the impression I've got from lots of correspondents, is the visitors we have like the Isle of Man, but we all know it could look an awful lot better. Adam on Man in Line now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Fine, thanks. Whereabouts are you? Are you on the Isle of Man or elsewhere?
I'm here. I'm in Onchan.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. I'm just ringing up because I'm having an exhibition over the next month in Mother Tees in Laxey. It's just a small exhibition, 13 images in total, and I just wanted to give it a plug.
And these are what, photographs or what? What are they?
They're photo montages of my paintings, drawings and photographs. And it's sort of along the theme of escapism and making mental connections and associations between places and things, formal elements such as pattern and colour and shapes and forms, and how those things transport you away in your mind to other places, and how life is very much like a journey.
And it's Mother Tees from when till when, is it, you say?
Mother Tees, a lovely little shop just on the high street there in Laxey, selling rocks and things and books, and she does teas and things. It's quite a sort of spiritual...
And it's on now, is it, you say?
It's on now. It starts tomorrow. She's open Wednesday till Saturday.
Okay.
And it's on for the next month. Over May until the middle of TT week.
You were probably sending out some vibes last night, Adam. I was thinking of you when I was walking up Douglas Promenade.
Oh, right. Very good.
as I was walking just past on the side that's got no streetlights, and looking up Mona Drive. Have you spotted what Mona Drive has, which the Promenade doesn't have?
Well, it has festoon lights.
It has, funny enough, multicoloured festoon lights. Now, are they corporation ones? Are they council or are they private?
They're corporation, aren't they? They've always been there. They go all the way up the hill, up to, I don't know what the hill's called. There's the Arches, and then there's a hill which goes up towards Falcon Cliff.
Yeah, it looked absolutely lovely.
Yeah, I was outside the Welbeck doing the garden last night. When you looked up Mona Drive, Andy, isn't that strange?
Isn't that bizarre? But I was trying to find the positive in everything, and I was walking along Douglas Promenade and trying to find what I really loved about Douglas Promenade last night. And I suppose it's rather orderly, and some of the multicoloured pavements are quite nice.
Yeah, the multicoloured pavements are nice, aren't they? It's just, I think Unlock Promenade there, I don't know what they... Did they decide the other day about the horse trams, whether they're going to run to the sea terminal or not? Because they're supposed to be having another vote on it, aren't they? But I don't think that's the right place for wildflowers or just left to become weeds. I think it needs a proper planting scheme.
Well, yeah, you can actually... You can plant wildflowers, can't you?
Well, you can sow the seeds, can't you?
Yeah,
but I mean, I think that is what they're doing, isn't it? But I know that's no more... cheaper than doing a proper planting scheme with perennials or anything. And I wouldn't have thought Douglas Promenade was the right place just to have wildflowers, because they don't last very long. They're only there for sort of a month or so during the summer with the seed mixes they use. So maybe they need to look at doing something else. And I don't think the lights are working too well, are they? But I think for the time being, we're stuck with them.
I spotted, I think it must have been at least three of the lamp standards where the top bit, that pointy bit, doesn't work.
Oh, no. Well, I think what they need to be doing next is looking at the walkway and thinking about getting a surface on that, because they've got the new lights. And I think for the time being, we're going to have to put up with them until they realise that they need to bring the old ones back or get some festoon lights back again, because they're much prettier and much more subtle and give a much nicer atmosphere at night time than the new ones do. But I think the surface of the promenade needs to be their priority in the railings, doesn't it?
Okay.
As highlighted by Charles Gard.
Appreciate that. Thanks for calling, Adam.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. Mona Drive at night time. What a place that is. And David with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just a brief word about next year's T2. Talking to a couple of visitors over, and they were quite fascinated with the island, and they wanted to come back next year for the T2. And they were going to book Saturday to Saturday. And then one of the lads in the local said, why don't you make it Saturday to Sunday and then you can see the senior TT? So I said, well, surely they'll see the senior on the Saturday, if the senior's normally on the Friday.
Yeah.
If they go, and he said, oh, no. And he got his phone out. He said, here's the schedule for next year. They're moving the senior to Saturday.
The Saturday? Well, this is for 2023.
2023. Now, I think most marshals who have been here for the fortnight will be going on the Saturday, if not the Sunday. So if today was senior race day and it's a Saturday, the weather we've got, there'll be no helicopter coverage, so it'll have to be moved to the Sunday. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if you've got a link to that, or you can forward that through, just, or is that on the official site, that next year's seniors on the Saturday?
On the official... It's the schedule for next year. And not only that, they've got two races on the first Sunday, which means Mad Sunday won't take place. And I was just wondering, if they're running it on the Saturday, I don't know whether they still... Are they going to be running the Southern? Will that affect...
The post-TT, yeah, that would affect that, wouldn't it?
It's a knock-on effect on everything. And the main thing is, your marshals... I can't see them having enough marshals if it's run on a Saturday.
All right, we'll try and get to the bottom of that. Thanks, David.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that. Maybe I know Phil Edge listens, so if Phil knows what's going to be happening next year down south post-TT. More on that Charles Gard video.
Talking of railings, when I was a boy in the 1950s, every spring a small team of men would work their way along the promenade, tapping off the old paint and any bits of rust, and then another team would follow behind, painting all the prom railings and out on the Marine Drive. No such luck today. Just look at the railings. Rusted, bent, blown open, missing. And when in doubt, get the barriers out. Is this serious? two bright yellow crush barriers held together by cable ties.
That's Charles Gard. His video's called Welcome to the Isle of Man. And you have to ponder on the what would make someone like Charles, erudite, intelligent, articulate man who has spent 30-plus odd years talking about the Isle of Man in a positive light, for him to have had enough to put together a video, to go to the trouble of getting all the shots and putting out this video. Now, take a look. It's on YouTube, called Welcome to the Isle of Man, or you go to Max Radio's Facebook page. We've got a link to it as well. Charles will be on Man in Line a week this coming Thursday. So we're not going to do it in the heat of the moment. Let's take a look at the video, see what you think. If you think he's making a fuss about nothing, then by all means say so. But if you think there's something in what he's doing.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 35%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Escape the TT to Denmark Direct. Two-centre holiday in Copenhagen and Sonderburg, departing 2nd of June for 5 nights. Exclusive to Richmond Travel and Man Link Travel. Call for full details. Seats are selling quickly. Book today.
Renewable energy.
With spiralling energy costs, it's time to seriously consider renewable energy. With Manx Solar Electrical. Invest in the latest heat pump, solar energy and Tesla Powerwall systems now. And you can look forward to a future of controlling your energy bills for you and your family. For an investment starting from £10,000, invest for the future now.
Come to Manx Solar.
What do you mean you still haven't registered for this year's Manx Telecom Parish Walk? Entries close at midnight on Sunday, so hurry up. Visit parishwalk.com and do it right now. This is your last chance. Entry closes this Sunday.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio. Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your work end.
Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Past my 12 minutes before 1. Howard's with us again. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just listening there, actually. I've heard the whole video. I've listened to it, Charles Gard. But what brought a smile was when he said that small groups of men used to be on the... It was in the springtime. They'd chip away at the railings. This is when they were all cast iron. Chip away at the railings, then the other group would come along, put paint on them. But elderly people like myself will remember this in so much... It was largely prisoners that did it on their community work. And they were working... They wouldn't be allowed today. The health and safety fellas were about 12 feet off the ground, telling them why they can't do it. But that's a lot of it was done by prisoners on, well, work, when they were allowed out and they had a company, an officer or a couple of officers, and they would be doing the job down the prom. And they did a tremendous amount of work around Douglas. I remember them up in Annika at one time, weeding all the paths, the footpaths, etc., and they did a brilliant job. The place was like new. 18 months later, the council never even done anything, and it was overgrown again. So those lads have put the heart and soul into it and done a damn good job. The council just said, oh, well, that's it, and left it. But that Charles Gard video, as I say, it's a sad reflection on what the island has become. And it's time that a lot of the government, etc., and the council... stood up to be counted, because I've just come up from the promenade and I was looking at that, what they call the wildflower area. It's they've been driving vehicles along it and there's ruts and everything like that. You don't do that with a wildflower area. The children's park is still fenced off. The barriers are still up there. They must have an amazing amount of barriers to put all over the place. But one of the things I did read on your website the other day, and this makes mockery of all that's been going on the island, Tim Krukol said that the cost of replacing the bridges at Glenwellyn and on the Peel Road, just Peel side of St John's, has moved from $1 million to 1.3 and is now 1.7 million. So you can bet your bottom dollar by the time they get round even going on the serious side and saying we'll do it, it's going to be over 2 million. And that is a crazy amount of money just so a couple of cyclists, and I would love to be able to do it, but you've got to be realistic. £2 million could go a long way to fixing a lot of things around the island.
Okay.
Not putting in a cycle path. And the other thing is, the children will be on their summer holiday soon, and it's an old chestnut of yours, the Flumes. Anybody heard about them lately?
Oh, please. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
All right, here's Robert with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Robert.
Hello. It's more of a question than anything else I've got. Right, you know, I heard at the start of the program about this thing about the airport.
Yeah.
Going on apps. Now, I'm 71, right? You know, and next year, I've got my eldest daughter and my granddaughter and her partner coming over from Canada, who I'm going to have to pick up at the airport. And also, I've got my youngest daughter and two grandchildren and my ex-wife coming over. Now, I've not seen my eldest daughter since 2004, and I've not seen my ex-wife since about 1988. You know? And I've got no idea about computers and all this sort of stuff. When I went to school, now we didn't have such things. I was a plumber and heating engineer, and I didn't have time for that sort of stuff. I was working all my life, you know? And so what does this mean now? If I've got, you know, does it mean that I've got to have one of these stupid smartphones or something like that, right, to be able to park at the airport?
It's a brave new world, apparently, Robert, when we won't be using cash.
So that means that if I go to the airport, I just have to park up and then pay the fines.
Yeah, but in cash, you could pay the fine in cash, I suppose.
I know I can pay the fine in cash, but there's no way I can suddenly educate myself to use one of these silly smartphone things.
Okay, Robert, that's an interesting point. You can't pay for the parking in cash, but you can pay the fine. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Andy, you can pay fines in cash as long as you go to the courts.
Okay.
Because everybody has to accept, if you're paying a fine, it could be in 10 pence pieces or whatever. As long as you're committed to pay the fine, they have to accept it, Treasury, and the courts would have to do that and make sure you get a receipt. That's the main thing. But I wanted to quickly talk about Charles Gard's video. Excellent video. I tell you what, that'll be a bestseller if you put it out there. But what we need to do now is put the pressure back on government and maybe more to Douglas Corporation, and Port Sodric Way, which is Braddon, the local authority out there. I was ashamed, really, when Charles's video was some of that stuff about so little that could be done. And Howard was talking about the prisoners, but we still have people that do community service.
That's an interesting point. I wonder, is it too much to ask community service to be turned to sort of civic good?
Which should be turned to civic good, but not at the expense of a local authority opting out of their duties and functions or central government. So, what I mean by that, for example, is that something that they should be doing anyway, and they're getting community service doing it for free. Community service is to do enhancements to the community for the benefit of us all on the island. And I've used them a few times when they painted our pensions club on the outside, and that was great. that give them an opportunity to have something. And I remember at the time there was a couple of ladies there too who had community service, because not just those men. So there's lots for them to do, but I wonder whether we could do something now as a radio and a community radio that is saying to them, is Barry a watch? And let's come on every other week, maybe something like that, and say where are the best barriers, what they should be doing. And Mr. Krukel, I'll give him credit for Kroger, but what won't give him is that he needs to break up the DOI and put the gangs back in the communities. A community gang looks after its own, doesn't it? And stands and falls on its own.
Okay. All right, David. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
We appreciate that. 4 minutes before one. That's about it for Man in Line today. And, well, somebody said Charles Gard should rename his video Desolation Beautifully Shot. Well, it is. Very high production values about a very, very bleak subject. Take a look at Manx Radio's Facebook page. Or you can go to YouTube and punch in Charles Gard videos. Welcome to the Isle of Man. And Charles Gard himself has said, this is only Douglas. This is only Douglas, apparently. So, well, if you want more of it...
Just look at Douglas's famous sunken gardens. The walls all smashed away and the ever-present barriers now in place.
Charles Gard... And the video you simply have to see. Thanks also. What do you think of Neil Kermode in Orkney as well and their energy solutions? Man in Line's back tomorrow at high noon, and thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. WINT